If you've got your Bible this morning, I want you to open to the Old Testament book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6. Beg your pardon? Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord, as we have another opportunity to fellowship in your word, Lord, we just ask your blessing upon this gathering, Father. We thank you for each one that's come this way. We pray, Father, that as we share in these scriptures, Father, that the Holy Spirit will richly bless and move upon us, Father, in a powerful way. Lord, we live in times that seem to be sad, times that seem to be certainly challenging times, Father. And Lord, yet today we can just mark it down and count on it that you are still on the throne. You're still high and lifted up, Father, and you know everything that goes on. And Father, even in the worst of times, it's possible. It's very possible for us to get a new and a fresh look at the Lord Jesus Christ and a new and fresh look at our relationship to him and to one another. So, Father, this morning, Lord, as we fellowship in your word, we ask your blessing. We pray that the Holy Spirit just richly bless and minister in a marvelous and wonderful way. Father, bless your word, bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Isaiah is writing in chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says, he says, "In the year that King Uzziah died," which is a terribly negative thing because King Uzziah was a wonderful king. He was a good king of the southern kingdom of Judah. And we're going to share in the life of Uzziah because it's important. I think the life of King Uzziah is a pattern after the our nation's life is almost a pattern after the life of Uzziah. But in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, "I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." In seemingly the worst of times, God can give us a fresh vision for good. Isaiah, one of the most celebrated prophets of the Old Testament, was called to the ministry while he was attending the funeral service, if you will, of his beloved King Uzziah. Uzziah was beloved of his people because he was a good king. He was a king that started out young and sought the Lord's leading and was immensely blessed in everything he did, for he first served the Lord and then he served the people. He first served the Lord, and then he served the people. So here, and I will tell you that if we are serving the Lord first, our service will naturally turn to what? To others. It'll naturally turn to others. If you have the very presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, then first of all, you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that power of that Holy Spirit ought to entice you to have a positive and a good relationship with others. So here in the Old Testament life of King Uzziah, we have the principal picture of the law of Christ, to love the Lord and to love thy neighbor. King Uzziah served the Lord and he took good care of God's people. But now he was dead and the people mourned his passing. The people mourned his passing. Go with me, if you will, now to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, and we're going to review the life of King Uzziah. The life of a servant king. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Beginning in verse 3. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to what? Amen. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And when King Uzziah prospered, I can promise you this, the nation of Israel prospered as well. Here is a young man, a young king, anxious to do the right thing for his people by seeking God's face and the guidance and the direction given him from time to time by the prophet Zechariah. And God poured out his blessings upon the land. Verse 6 says, and he went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbaal and the Mahunims and the enemies of Judah. These were all the enemies of Judah. The enemies of Judah were now Israeli occupied lands. The enemies of Judah were now Israeli occupied lands. Any uprising against God's people would immediately be met with strong resistance by Israel. I tell you, today is quite different, isn't it? Today, the nation of Israel is living in a box, if you will, constantly looking over their shoulders, anticipating any day that Iran is going to launch a nuclear weapon in their direction. But during the time of Uzziah, he certainly occupied the lands of all of his enemies. Any uprising against God's people would immediately be met with a strong resistance by Israel. Such military strength produced by the very hand of God provided for the peace and the safety of the homeland. God was pouring out his blessings upon the land. And verse 8 says, and the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah. The Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved farming. That's what husbandry means. He loved farming. I suppose you could say that Uzziah, beside being the king, was a great farmer. Because Uzziah put God first, God opened the windows of heaven and poured out blessings upon blessings to his people. What has happened here in the land of Israel can just as easily happen in our homes and in our communities, in our nation, if we would only put God first in our everyday affairs. I believe that's true. I believe that's true. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the Lord says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. God is going to take care of his people. God is not going to let you go without. I mean, somebody says, well, Jim, I love the Lord, and yet I went without for a long period of time. But I promise you that God met your needs. He brought you through. He brought you through. Acts chapter 17, verse 28, Paul says, for in him we live and we move and we have our being. God wants to bless every part of our life, our rising up and our sitting down. He will bless when we open our ears, open our hearts, and open our lives to him. And so God continues to pour out his blessings upon Israel. Verse 11, moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands according to the number of their account by the hand of Jael the scribe and Messiah the ruler under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. And under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500. That made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and harbergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And look at verse 15. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. So here Uzziah, for the bulk of his 52-year reign as king of Judah, served the Lord, and in turn the Lord blessed him so that he could be a blessing to his people. God blessed him so he could be a blessing to his people. You know, this nation has seen days like Israel was seeing at the time of Uzziah. I can't help but to contrast this example of the life of Uzziah and the kingdom of Israel with the life of our own nation. It started out young. It started out with a great faith and trust in the God of glory. The Lord blessed us with strength and bounty and wealth and prosperity, so much so that we have led other nations in feeding the hungry and caring for the oppressed and the dispossessed of the world. God has truly over the years been shedding His grace upon our great nation. But somehow over the last 60-some years, we have become a nation puffed up. We've become a nation arrogant and self-serving and self-supporting. We've decided to cower under to political correctness, and in doing so, leave God and His Word behind. Instead of other nations helping us, we are sending even enemy nations our own hard-earned dollars, seeking to pacify them, to hopefully buy their friendship, and in turn, buy peace for the world. Can you buy peace for the world? Can we buy peace? Not true peace. Not true peace. The world will never enjoy peace while we are rejecting the Prince of Peace. Uzziah and the kingdom of Israel were wonderfully blessed by God until foolish pride captured Uzziah's heart. Look at verse 16. This is so sad. Verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Do you see what's happened here? Uzziah, blessed to be the leader of a great nation, is now not satisfied with that. He wants more. He wants to become the priest. He wants to go in and practice those things that were not intended for him to practice. In fact, going into the Holy of Holies, or going into the holy chamber, was only permitted for the priest, sons of Aaron. And yet here is Uzziah, taking it upon himself to go in and to practice the priest's work. How sad a testimony. Not satisfied with being God's instrument of grace to his people, Uzziah wanted to be the priest of God as well. Uzziah was called to be the king of Israel, not the priest. In the Matthew Henry writes, when he had grown very great and considerable in wealth, interest, and power, instead of lifting up the name of God in gratitude, his heart was lifted up to his own destruction. Uzziah is in the sanctuary, the holy place where the lampstand, the showbread, and the incense, all pictures of the coming Savior of the world, are before the Holy of Holies, a place where only the priest of Israel, a descendant of Aaron, was permitted to go. Uzziah's calling was to be an example of faith to his people, to listen to God's word, and to rule and to reign accordingly. You know that's our calling as well. That's your calling, that's my calling. Whatever gift God has given to you, you ought to be actively pursuing that gift, actively practicing in that gift that He's given to you. But every one of us, He's given the gift of grace to be able to minister and to share with others the simple message of the gospel of Christ, to allow others to see Jesus in us, that others will be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us is called to do that as Christians. But somehow we're not satisfied with that. We want more. We want more. And so here, Uzziah's calling was to be an example of faith to his people, to listen to God's word and to rule and to reign accordingly. And for many, many years, the testimony of Israel throughout the land was just that Israel serves a mighty God. But now the king was setting a disastrous example, so much so that 80 priests of Israel, led by Azariah, entered the temple and demanded that Uzziah leave that sanctuary. Verse 17. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priest, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. The priest was making it clear to the king that his presence was not only a trespass against God, but he was in danger of God's immediate judgment. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. You, O king, are in danger of God's judgment, and you need to leave now. You know, it'd been wonderful if Uzziah had responded to the priest and walked right out of the sanctuary there, because he'd have been much better off. You know, the Bible says that there's no temptation. Well, let me just read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says this, There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. And so here these priests are coming in, and they're telling Uzziah, what you're doing is wrong. And you need to leave this sanctuary right now. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the call. That's God's avenue for Uzziah to escape the coming judgment. But Uzziah is not going to respond to that call. The priest warning is the way of escape for Uzziah. But does he take it? Verse 19 says, Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. In other words, he was going to serve. The priest did. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And as Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Now let me share, he wasn't just leprous in his forehead. The point is that the leprosy had already come up and reached to his forehead. And it was clearly seen. Whatever robe he was wearing, whatever garments he was wearing, it was obvious to the priest that leprosy had completely consumed his body. And Azariah the chief priest, again verse 20, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out. God got his attention. He was on his way out because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a separated house, being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. How sad a reign of great blessing would end with such a curse. How sad that a great reign would end with such a great curse. Uzziah was quarantined from the rest of the world. He was separated. One of the most beautiful words in the scriptures is that of sanctification, the term sanctification. Sanctification is one of the most beautiful words in the gospel message, for as we humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, we confess our sinfulness and acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. God at that very moment in time sanctifies us. That is, He sets us apart. We become members in the household of God, and that's what the sanctification means. It means to be set apart for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I, as believers in Christ today, are sanctified. We are saints in the Lord Jesus Christ. But on the other hand, there's a setting apart for the wayward and the rebellious. For those that hear the call of God and refuse to respond, they'll be cast one day into outer darkness, separated forever from the presence of the Lord. In Matthew 22, verse 13, the Lord Jesus, the scripture says, Then said the king to the servants, the Lord Jesus is sharing this, Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Uzziah was a good king. He was loved by the people and had a strong reputation for being a servant of the Lord. But when pride filled his heart, And God's voice of correction, he rejected. God was moved to judgment. And you know, I believe over these last 60 years, I believe God's voice has called this nation, has called and called and called. And now today, this nation is bankrupt. You know? Oh, Jim, we don't want to hear that this morning. We don't want to hear about that. I want to tell you, I want you to understand that what's happening in our nation today is absolutely the saddest state of affairs considering how it started out. It's bankrupt. And we continue to strive to be more bankrupt. Which tells me that I believe without a doubt the Lord Jesus is coming. And He's coming very soon. He's coming very soon. Our nation started out on the right foot, but somehow we've gotten off on the wrong foot. Verse 22 says, "Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial, which belongs to the kings, for they said he is a leper. And Jotham his son reigned in his stead." Let me just make a point there. They didn't bury him with the kings. They buried him in the field where the other kings were buried in a celebration. He was buried in the field, separate from the others, because he was a leper. And now, if you'll turn back, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah has come mourning the death of Uzziah. He's come mourning the death of Uzziah. And the scripture says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain or two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." Well, let me assure you that that may not necessarily be true today. In fact, it's not true today, but it's going to be. It's going to be. The Lord Jesus is coming to set up His kingdom, and the whole earth is going to be filled with His glory. "And the priest of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then Isaiah says, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And verse 6 says, "Then flew one of the seraphims unto him, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and I said, Lo, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity. This has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." When Isaiah was down and depressed and sad, and just sadness filled his heart over the passing of Uzziah, God showed him a vision. And you know, as we can talk and complain about what's going on in this nation today, God can refresh us with a new vision to reach folks for the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in the midst of times of sadness and sorrow, God can open up our heart and show and our minds and show us a new work and a new freshness in going out to reach folks for the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's not get down. Let's not get depressed. Let's look up and see what it is that God has for us to do today. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, Father. We thank You for the opportunity, Father, to share. And we just ask You, Father, to bless these that have come this morning. Father, if there's one here this morning that's never made a personal commitment to You, Lord, today is the day that the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. It's also the day, it may be the last day, that that individual may have an opportunity to come into the kingdom of God. But Father, we just pray that you'll move upon the heart of that one that's furthest from thee. Lord, if we are walking in adrift from thee, we know you as our personal Savior, but somehow we're walking adrift. Father, I would pray that today would be a day that we'd rededicate our hearts to service to thee, Lord, and that we'd go out and about with a fresh vision and a fresh work for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then too, Father, as we share this morning, if there's one here that's never made that personal commitment, we pray today they would open their heart to the realization that tomorrow may not come. But if tomorrow, that tomorrow will certainly come for them, very possibly. But if tomorrow not come, if for some reason they should meet the death angel on this side of glory, Father, that they would forever be lost without the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, we just ask your blessing. We pray that you move upon our folks in a wonderful and powerful way. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. And God, all God's people said, amen. Amen. The invitation hymn.